With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Pixels, a show where we cover the news from the video games industry. And boy, do we have news today. I'm pretty sure everyone in the world everyone in the world that's listening to this knows that the PlayStation 5 presentation showcase has happened yesterday as we record this episode. And we're going to be talking about that. We're also going to be talking about Destiny 2 and its plans for the future, maybe a bunch of other little things, but really those are the two big things. And really, the Destiny 2 thing we're talking about because we love Destiny 2, but the only real big thing is the Sony PlayStation 5 event. I say we, I mean me, Patrick Beja, and him, Garrett Weinsroll. How is it going, Garrett?
I'm so stoked to be back, Patrick. Thanks for inviting me back on. I really like guesting on this show because if you're familiar with me as a podcaster, you may not be familiar with the fact that I actually do play games outside of Blizzard Entertainment. I really just like games. I'm a big game nerd, and I like talking about things that aren't Blizzard games. So I'm really happy to be here today to talk about what I'm calling COVID E3.
COVID E3, that's a good way of putting it, which, by the way, maybe we can start with the initial question, which I asked at the end of my French show about the same topic. How do you feel so far COVID E3 is doing? Because, of course, as we've mentioned many times, a lot of people have speculated that maybe this is going to be just as good and companies are going to realize they don't need to pay so much money for E3 and it's going to be just, you know, the same. Just go direct to your potential consumers. You don't need a big trade show or a rallying place. And so how do you think it's going so far, the non-E3 E3?
I'm trying to give it a fair shake because, to me, I kind of look at it and my gut reaction is this isn't as cool. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I am 33 years old. I have basically grown up. Like, is it E3 season? I know what I'm doing tonight. Like, it's a thing. And so I'm trying to boomer check myself. I'm like, is this a boomer thing for me? Is this going to be the hill I die on that makes me seem old when I go, you know, I really miss the giant stadiums of extremely awkwardly delivered marketing. Like, it's something I really legitimately love, even though it's something I make fun of. It's like, I used to look forward to getting on like AIM and making fun of E3 with my friends. And then I looked forward to going out into my living room and making fun of E3 with my roommates in college. And then I started looking forward to getting on Twitter and making fun of E3 with strangers on the internet. So at least the first big things we've had, which is the Sony conference and the Destiny 2 one, they're really direct. Like they kind of, you know, for the most part, cut out the BS and it's like, here's the games here, you know, in a tightly edited video, just watch this, see what you're going to be playing in the future. And in a way, I like that because it's like, all right, just get rid of the BS, just show me the freaking games and let's move on with our lives. But also, I feel something that I really enjoy that I grew up on has been lost. But again, kind of trying to gut check myself. Mm-hmm. Am I being an old man?
I think there's certainly a lot of what you described, which, for in each individual event, you can certainly feel that. But I also think it goes beyond it. And that's why you're not, you don't need to boomer check yourself too much. There isn't the same hype around everything. And I wonder if the publishers and the manufacturers are going to see maybe a little bit less of a spike for their thing because we don't have this tide that raises all the boats of around E3. And the PlayStation thing is a little bit more isolated. The obviously Destiny and IGN, like IGN has done a couple of big streams. I thought it was going to be like another big rallying thing. It kind of went by and I don't even know what they talked about. There hasn't been a lot of press coverage, which, you know, I'm guessing they're not getting the biggest games, but still at E3, it would have been more. And even, I guess my point is, even for the big ones, it feels less emphatic because there isn't this buzzing atmosphere around everything. So I guess we won't know for another few months or maybe years, but I feel like it's even the big ones are losing something, which I didn't expect initially. But
there's a little thing in the back of my brain wondering, though, if they don't need to try as hard because we're still in the middle of a pandemic. We've been cooped up for so long. I think we're all kind of just frothing at the mouth for any new game experience at all. Do they need to sell it to us this hard? Do we need as many feet on the ground actually trying these demos and reporting to us back home? Because does it matter? We're all going to buy this crap anyway because we just need something to entertain ourselves.
Yeah, that's true. But I feel like the marketing fiesta isn't working as well without the, you know, it doesn't have to be E3, but it has to be a strong, identifiable, you know, rallying something, because now the community is like, okay, I'll show up for the PlayStation thing, and then I'll show up. Yeah. There isn't like this big mass movement of everyone. Anyway, we'll see. All right, let's talk about the PlayStation 5 showcase itself, which was a solid hour of nonstop games. And I guess the thing I noticed the most is that they didn't focus on the big, heavy hitters. They had Same. A whole lot of different things. And I wonder if it didn't do them a disservice in the end, even though there weren't only things where you were thinking, oh, my God, this is so awesome, I can't wait for it. There were some of those, but also some things where you were thinking, oh, well, I guess this looks interesting. I wonder what it is. And we'll get to some of the games. But overall, it lowered the overall hype level of the thing. And also, there was essentially no gameplay. It was a couple of little tidbits, but it was also mostly cinematic things. And most of the gameplay that we saw, as little as there was of it, was, I don't want to say underwhelming, but it was like, oh, and it's a video game. That's it is.
I really agree with you. Yeah, I think a lot of what was shown was shallow. I don't, as someone who already plays games, it's like, yeah, I get it. Okay, it looks pretty. How have you improved this? Because there were quite a few sequels. What's new? What are the features? And I got basically none of that. Like, even for something as ubiquitous as Gran Turismo, you know, which I recently got really into. Big deal that they're announcing a numbered Gran Turismo that'll be coming to the PS5. Like that is a big deal.
People, and you're a car dude. So it's yes, like it's my, right in your, you're the target for this.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, over my quarantine project is I've been building a sim rig, like literally myself, because I didn't want to spend a ton of money. I built it at a freaking 2x4s. They just showed gameplay. They didn't say what's new features or whatever. And gameplay in Gran Turismo looks exactly like gameplay in Gran Turismo Sport. Like, yeah. 7 looked like Sport, just slightly prettier.
I think that's important to note because there were some of the like inside shots of the car, which were like, you know, the gears and the dashboard and the thing, which were rendered in incredible detail. But then you switch to inside the car view when you're racing. You're like, oh, it's Gran Turismo.
I literally played a bunch of it last night of Gran Turismo Sport on a launch PS4 that is still somehow working perfectly fine. And I will say, oh, the draw distance and the pop in and texture pop in and shadows looks way better on that 7 demo that they showed us. But again, I'm more interested in features really for any game that they announced. And they basically told us nothing. There was no, I wanted a nerdy deep dive into a lot of these titles, and maybe, we just got shiny trailers.
Yeah, which is cool. I mean, it's always cool to have shiny trailers, and it's kind of aspirational. And certainly there was a lot of games. I think we're coming off as a little bit curmudgeon-y, which were pointing out the things that didn't quite work. There were some things that did work, I think. Spider-Man, obviously, opening with it is very strong. It turns out it's not a full new game, which I honestly didn't expect. It's a remaster, like improved graphics with a lengthy expansion. And when they mentioned, you know, Spider-Man, Miles Morales, I thought it would be maybe a 5-hour side story in a new graphics engine or improved graphics engine. Kind of what they did, like what they did with First Light, Second Son.
Second Son? Yeah.
Yes, Infamous Second Son, which First Light was awesome. It was like a 10 hours experience. It was fantastic. I played that. I really liked it.
It was really good. I was honestly kind of expecting an Infamous sequel as well, by the way. But yeah, have they talked about how long Miles Morales is going to be? Because that was a bit of a bummer for me too. I was hoping it would be a full-fledged sequel.
Well, yeah, so it isn't, but personally, I'm not too disappointed. I was expecting that. And it's coming out with the console, essentially, launch window. It's holiday 2020. So that is pretty cool, I think. I wonder how much it's going to cost. But
The Spider-Man PS4 game is probably my favorite console game of like this generation. It's probably that or Red Dead 2. My answer will change depending on what day and what mood I'm in when you ask me.
Oh, talking about Red Dead 2, GTA opening with GTA 4 on PS4, GTA 5 on PS4 was like the power of that game. We keep talking about it on this show, but the power of GTA 5 is incredible. So much that in order to get people to buy the PlayStation 5, they open with launch GTA PS4 graphics. Maybe that was a way of showing you what PS4 graphics actually were like, and then when you see the PS5 ones, you're like, oh, all right, that looks better than I thought. But
that was the one thing that like it didn't excite me at all, because I'm like, how have we not had a new GTA? Is something new even in GTA 5? I liked GTA 3 when we had like it was the same engine, but we got like new games in the series, and I just like, give me a Miami game in that engine, I would play the living hell out of it.
Well, 6 is coming at some point.
But that really did feel to me like something that would be at an E3 or a conference. You know, Patrick, you and I have gone to BlizzCons a ton of times, and before the actual event starts, there's some really boring thing happening at that couch they have set up, and they're like, everybody gets a free Destiny demo, and nobody cares.
That's what I'm saying. They think, at least, that a lot of people will care about GTA 5 online or GTA Online, and every PS5 owner is going to get it in 2021 when it releases on PS5, the GTA Online only. And obviously, we're not the target audience for this, but I think it shows that this is still 130 million copies sold later, still a big thing. But so they dropped. Let's move through the games. First party, there were a bunch of them. We mentioned a couple. Obviously, they closed with Horizon Forbidden West, which is Horizon Zero Dawn 2, which that is, I think, one of the two or three games that actually look like it's next gen. It looks incredible. It looks amazing. But of course, on that one, they don't have a date. So it might be 2022 for all we know. More likely it would be next year. But and there were a couple of other things in first party. I think Demon's Souls is considered first or second party, so we can include it there. I'm not the target for those, but a lot of people were very happy about it.
Has that been confirmed to be a new game, or is it like a remaster?
Oh, it's a remaster, like a remaster. It's more involved than a simple like HDification, whatever that means for an already HD game. But there's Returnal was a bit weird. That space.
That one piqued my interest, but that's because I love psychological horror in space. It's one of my favorite genres. So, and it also looked good. And was one of the few things that I think you and I are going to keep coming back around to this. That also looked next gen to me. A lot of what was shown, you know, so I have a PC. It just kind of looked like what I'm already playing at home on my computer.
I will say, they, for all the noise about the SSD, which you know, is beyond what anything else does. There was one thing, one instance that actually showed probably what the SSD makes possible, which wouldn't be possible in other consoles or devices. It's the Ratchet and Clank demo, where they switch between dimensions. You know, every 2 seconds, they switch from one dimension to another, and the entire environment changes. And I'm pretty sure that no other system can load the environment so quickly that you can switch them so fast. And that was kind of, wow, I've never seen this happen in a game, because technically it's not possible. But then they switch to gameplay, and there's none of that. It's Ratchet and Clank gameplay. It's completely normal. So I'm like,
I mean, it was more like a portal effect.
It was a portal that was porting them, just it was teleporting them in the same zone. You know, it was like just going 10 feet in front of you. That's how I understood it. The environment didn't change. It didn't go from, like, you know, the medieval thing to the city thing to the...
Oh, that's fair. Yeah. That's fair. I still thought the type of portal effect, though, because it was like tearing through the world you were currently, like this position you were currently in, was very impressive. But again, it reminded me of Portal. It is something I have seen before.
Yeah, we can talk about third-party games. There were a bunch of them as well. I'll let you tell me which ones you thought were interesting, and I can guess which one you will note first, but go ahead.
Oh, well, I mean, third party wise, I don't know offhand which ones were, because the reason I get excited about PlayStation in the first place are the exclusives, because I think in the exiting console war where you're leaving from, where I would say Nintendo just refuted. It's like, I refute your existence and substitute my own, like, or refute your reality. That's what Nintendo did. So Nintendo is its own thing. I love the Switch, but between Xbox and PlayStation just murdered Microsoft, I think, in the current generation with exclusives. And I'm a total Microsoft fanboy. I love Halo. So for me, starting with any follow-up to Spider-Man got me really excited. Getting a numbered Gran Turismo, especially since
third party.
I don't know. I don't have an answer for you.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I have an answer for me. Do you see... I thought you were going to tell me about Kena Bridge of Spirits, that incredibly well-animated thing from it's a couple of people who have cinematic backgrounds, and it looks like a Pixar movie.
It looks very pretty. The gameplay looks like every launch game platformer I've never remembered the name of after launch.
That is fair. That is very
fair. It looks like really rudimentary platforming. It is gorgeous. Don't get me wrong. And one of the other things that kind of I was grumpy about as I was leaving this, I was like, boy, that was a really brown presentation. It reminded me of like the 360 PS3 era where we're looking at Killzone trailers that basically looked black and white. Also, like Gears 1 kind of suffered from that issue. And it was nice. It's like, it kind of looks absolutely incredible. Like, it's beautiful. The art direction's in, just out of this world. But nothing about the gameplay. I was like, I'd rather play Zelda.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I keep coming back to. We saw very little gameplay, and the little we saw was like, oh, okay. I guess maybe. And
I'm really starting to come around to your we needed people like non-invested parties, non-people that actually made this game telling us how good this is. I needed someone with a hands-on demo, because this is something that I remember from like the previous E3 that really worked for Fallen Order. I thought the Jedi Fallen Order marketing was horrible. I thought it looked like the most generic game I'd ever seen. And then people who actually got to play it at E3 was like, guys, they did a terrible job marketing this game. It's amazing. It's a little bit of Metroid. It's a little bit of Dark Souls. You can play it in a non-linear fashion because you can planet hop. And I was like, why didn't they show us any of that in their marketing? I think I do kind of need that, Patrick. I think I need some third-party hot takes.
Accounts, yeah. Okay, so what about Ghostwire Tokyo? What about Resident Evil Village with the A.
Okay. Oh yeah. Oh, Resident Evil Village looks creepy as hell, and I am on board for that. The Tokyo game, that's one that's looked like it could have been on a PS3. Visual
maybe
wise.
Okay, Hitman people. 3.
I really need to play the new Hitman games. I've heard they're amazing. I haven't touched any of them.
Okay. It's another one of those where the cinematic presentation was like, oh, this looks really cool. And then they show you 15 seconds of gameplay and they're like, oh, it's Agent 47 going into a thing.
Right, you kind of know what you're gonna get with Hitman. Of course. But at the same time, it's good that they are continuing it. But yeah, it's not the kind of thing that's going to move a console for me.
Island of Bug Snacks.
I was giggling my ass off watching that trailer. Bug Snacks is not a thing I'd ever thought I'd say. I really don't know what to make out of it. It's from the makers of Octodad, so clearly it's going to be quirky as all get out. Really, you know what my takeaway from that was? I really want another Viva Pinata.
That is a fair assessment. Okay, so not super. I guess I'm in semi wait and see mode. There are certainly things that I'm interested in, and things that I will be waiting for with great anticipation. But I guess I'm not as excited as I expected to be, and that's also because we didn't get a date. I guess a price we shouldn't have expected, but we didn't get a date. We didn't get anything from the UI. I would have loved to see the UI. Okay, let's talk about the console itself and the design and the fact that they out Lockharted Microsoft. They introduced what is probably going to be a cheaper version without a disk drive before Microsoft announced their cheaper version. But so one with a disk drive, one without a disk drive. What do you think of the design? And in the end, are you going to get one when it releases?
Well, I'll definitely get one because I have to play every Naughty Dog game ever. And even though a new one wasn't shown at this, it doesn't matter. I know new ones will come and I have to play them. So, of course, I'm going to get a PlayStation. Also, I've gotten very recently extremely invested in Gran Turismo. So whatever the case is, I'm going to be picking one up. Also, and I don't mean this as a dig, the Xbox 360 is one of my favorite looking consoles of all time. And this looks like a way cooler Xbox 360. I love the design of this console.
Really? I really thought it's like, it looks cool now, but it's the kind of thing that looks like super futuristic, which will look old in 3 years.
I kind of like that, though, because eventually things are cyclical. It comes back around to being like retro. Like the 360 still looks a little old and busted now, but I think we're just about to hit the point where we're like, you remember the 360? Oh, that was such a cool look with a little breathe in on the side. So yeah, I'm into it. I think it absolutely will age, but you know what else aged? The NES. And now I look back on it with extremely fond memories and I see so many things that are like inspired by the design of it.
Fair enough. I thought the surprisingly, I wasn't super inspired by the Xbox Series X design, but I like it better, I think. And that's I'm the Sony fanboy, not fanboy. That's not true, but I really prefer Sony to Microsoft. And I'm coming out of this a little bit underwhelmed. Maybe I was expecting too much. I don't know.
I tend to not get particularly hyped for new consoles because there's usually just so many launch games that are underwhelming and don't really stand the test of time. And yeah, of course. I think this is true for most new generation launches. So I'm kind of par for the course for this because I felt the same way. There was a overall this show. I thought spent a weird amount of time on third party and indie titles, which don't get me wrong. There's plenty of third party games I love. It's plenty of indie titles I love, but it's like not when I'm coming to the launch of your brand new PlayStation console. Like I should just give me 20 minutes on freaking Horizon 2, or even Miles Morales. Really let me sink my teeth into your big tentpole exclusives. And I didn't really get that.
Yeah.
Not even close.
I guess the message was there will be time to do all of this. And the message was we have games. Like we have cool games, weird games, funny games, children games, scary games, AAA games, indie games. We have tons of games that are coming to this. And if that was the message, I think it got through. And there will be time, trying to see the positive in all of this. There will be time to dive into some of the big AAA titles that they showed there. But yeah. And so the non no disk drive version makes a lot of sense. It's not like it was unexpected, but it's not surprising, if that makes sense. So
also it looks way better. That disk drive looks like it was like it's like bulging, like it was tacked on.
I agree.
It's very nice looking. Plus I download like everything now, so I think I'm actually getting the diskless version.
I'm wondering if I will. I think I'm going to get the disk with version, just in case thing, and never use it. Like it might even be in case I get a 4K Blu-ray, and then I'll never get a 4K Blu-ray. So
maybe that's true. I love physical media. I'm like, it still looks better, it still sounds better, and I'm like, oh well, it's on Netflix, I don't have to get up and grab a disc. Well, I guess I'm watching it on Netflix.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see. I'm obviously curious about the price. I'm wondering if having the cheaper diskless version means they can make the disk version a little bit more expensive than we had anticipated, but I don't know. We'll see. All right, I guess that's about it for the PlayStation 5.
I just have so many questions still after this. Like they didn't answer any of my questions. That's kind of my...
Well, they showed you a ton of games. I guess if you compare this with currently what we know of the games of the Xbox Series X, that disastrous presentation from a month ago really looks even worse now that we've seen all of this. I guess in that sense, it was a success because we know that there are going to be games on PlayStation 5 in the launch window and beyond, which there are going to be like half of those games are going to be on Xbox Series X also anyway, but it's just a little bit of a perception thing. So
to me it almost felt like they were reacting to that too much. It was like getting as many games in here as it takes. It doesn't matter if like a third of them are remotely interesting.
I agree.
I will say this, I liked how few sports games were highlighted because I always just tune out when it's like, and now from EA Sports, somebody you've never heard of. And I'm just like, all right, I'm see you later. I'm going to just tune out for the next 20 minutes.
I agree. All right, let's talk a little bit about Destiny 2. We were big Destiny players. I still launch it every couple of months and have fun for a little bit, sometimes for an hour, sometimes for a week. But it's still super fun. And there was this big... presentation for Destiny 2's next big expansion called Beyond Light, which honestly it's like First Light was last year, the introduction, and now it's Beyond Light because I hope people listening to the show have listened before and know that I'm not a curmudgeon, always annoyed person, but it felt off. It's like Destiny has accepted its fate as a niche game. It can be a big niche, but it used to be that Destiny was this giant hope for humanity almost, that everyone would play it. And I understand they never quite achieved that, but in going into, you know, accepting their place, I feel a little bit of the magic has been lost. And they talked about that next expansion. And, you know, in 2021, The Witch Queen, and in 2022, Lightfall, it's like, it's a service game now. And I don't know, it was always a service game, but I felt let down, not just underwhelmed, a little bit let down, I think. It felt like a community update video, not a, here's our brand new thing that everyone's gonna love video.
I got more of the nitty-gritty though from this that I felt was sorely lacking from the PS5 presentation, so I think that's why I'm coming away from it a little more positive than you are. I'm with you. I don't think this was not a This was like a performance at your local coffee shop. This wasn't an arena concert.
And Luke Smith, who, bless him, he's great, but his demeanor, he looked and acted like he was talking back at a Reddit thread. I really think that was not good at all. Like, at some point he spent, I don't know, 3 minutes saying, "All right, guys, we know you don't like this thing. We've messed up on that thing. Don't worry, we're gonna fix it." And like, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, this is your big showcase to the world for this new Destiny expansion, and you're talking to the guys complaining on it. Like, he could have mentioned that they made mistakes, but in that way, it felt like a forum response.
It felt like everything after Fallout 76 that Bethesda had to go do. I'm like, listen, you guys, maybe, Destiny 2, little Rocky, you're not Fallout 76, Rocky. It doesn't deserve this type of apology.
I don't know. And it wasn't the only occurrence of that. I felt he looked very
a little tired. More. I think a little more confidence. I think is a fair critique. Yeah. But. Still, that's a lot of content to be announcing. And also, like you talk about, I said I left PS5 with questions. I'm not really leaving the Destiny 2 presentation with questions. I now know where the game is going, including not a sequel. Like, they're sticking with Destiny 2. That's big news. Like, whether you are excited about it or not excited about it, we basically got a roadmap like of expansions, and the fact that they're not going to just toss Destiny 2 aside and launch Destiny 3, they're sticking with it, with like rotating curated content, which again, you may like or you may not, but like, at least we have answers. At least we know where this game is going, which is something I respect and really responded to.
I guess maybe we should mention what they talked about. So Beyond Light is the new expansion. There's going to be a new destination, new class subclasses where you wield the element? The disruption?
I forget.
I can't remember.
If it's not in the notes, I'm not going to be able to recall stasis. It from memory.
Stasis, there you go. Stasis. And it's going to be available on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X in 4K 60. And that's it, right? The info we got.
For Beyond Light, yeah. But it's coming this year.
Yes.
It's coming in September. That's, again, very actionable information. And then they went on to, make previews of follow-up expansions in the years to come, as you mentioned, extending all the way out to 2022, which I think is kind of rad. Like, yeah, there wasn't a ton of information for all of them, but I think it's still cool to know that much content is coming to this game, that if this is something you were questioning whether it was something you're going to keep playing or if it was worth of investing in, updates are coming, and the frequency at which they're going to be landing.
I guess I'll definitely, like, last year I bought the expansion with the season pass, the year pass, immediately. I think this year I'm going to buy the expansion and not necessarily buy the season pass immediately. And we'll see. It will be my Destiny fix for the year, and I might not play it again until, I guess, the Witch Queen, which is what they care about, but...
I love that you and I are having like I'm definitely in a pro category and you're kind of in a con, but we're definitely going to be doing the same thing. I'm not going to go all in and just be like, give me everything. Cause the reason I stopped playing Destiny 2 is all of my friends did. And it was like, well, I don't really feel like playing this game alone. I've already kind of done all of the alone things I want to do in this game.
But you will get the expansion and play through the, single player experience, like quote unquote single player, in September.
Maybe. Maybe. Actually, it depends. If you're my only friend returning, maybe not. Because for me, Destiny comes down to more. It's significantly more out of Bungie's hands as to the reasons I play Destiny. Because if it's not socially fulfilling for me, then I don't have the best time in it.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. We'll see. It's a game I want to love. Like, it comes and goes, but I definitely want to love it. And we'll see. You know, Destiny has definitely surprised me more than once. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I still think back to... I don't think any game has pulled me back in after I had written it off harder than Taken King when that landed in Destiny 1. Because I remember thinking, wow, Destiny 1 is a flop. I can't believe how overhyped this thing was. I'm never going back. And then a month of barrages from people like you and my other friends being like, you don't understand. They fixed it. They actually fixed this game. It's amazing now. And I'm like, fine, I will go try it. And it was incredible. It was absolutely incredible. I don't think since Diablo 3 has a game done a bigger about face from a really underwhelming launch.
Yeah, it was. I still think of the Taken King with, you know, stars in my eyes. I think of the Dreadnought and the exploration. Like, it's difficult. You know, there are very few. The reason I'm singling out Destiny 2, and there might be many presentations of different games that I'm not going to cover in such detail, but the Taken King, the way they created a sense of place and exploration and mystery and community and secrets, I don't think it's impossible to explain, and I don't think any other game has done that in quite that way, and many games have learned from it, so maybe some of them try to replicate those, maybe especially Battle Royale games that evolve the map and do some kind of weird storytelling through map changes and stuff like that, but it was such a unique experience, and they've kept doing it, honestly, with, you know, more or less success. But it's difficult to explain how special Destiny and Destiny 2, to an extent, are to people who aren't into it. But
yeah, it's still a game I want to keep up on, even when I'm not playing it. It's something I'm always curious, but hey, what's happening in Destiny? Is it worth kind of poking my head back in? It's a universe and a world building that I really respond to from a studio that I love. Like I said, I'm a Halo fan, and this is the studio that bore it into this world. So I don't know. Again, like I said, it's for me, it's very personal with Destiny. It's just like, are my friends playing? Then I'm playing. Are they not? Then I'm not.
Well, let's hope. The only thing I'm a little bit bothered by is that Beyond Light comes out on September 22nd, and then the next-gen consoles are going to be out in, like, November. So I would like to play it on the next-gen consoles because it's a cross-buy. So
Welcome to me and my relationship with Last of Us 2 and Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah, but it's like this is 6 months apart. Maybe not six, but four. For Destiny 2, it's going to be a month, maybe a month and a half.
I don't think you understand how much I was actively rooting for Last of Us 2 to get delayed again.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can play it again on PlayStation 5.
It's not the same.
Yes, I know.
I want the first time I play it to be in 4K at 60 frames a second and beautiful and amazing and perfect.
All right, so a bunch of you woke up early. I did as well, but it's late for me now.
I thought you were doing a bit.
I am not. I'm actually.
That was an honest to God yawn.
Yes.
Okay. Oh,
I don't know child. Your
excuses. Oh, I guess that is an excuse.
Additional tidbits of news. EA Premier Access. EA Access is coming to Steam. Which is a bit weird, but really shouldn't be because they're trying to push EA Access on everything. So obviously, I guess people know EA Access is the subscription to EA games, of which there aren't many coming out, right now. But it's available now on Xbox, PlayStation, and Steam on top of their own EA Access on not Origin. What's the EA launcher? Is it Origin? Yes, it is Origin.
It is Origin.
Yeah.
That's what I play Apex through. That's the only reason I know what it is.
You and many other people. There are going to be some games that are only available on Origin, but essentially you take your subscription everywhere you go, which is pretty cool. I was super skeptical about EA Access when they announced it a while ago, and I think now they're making it, they're make through Access on every device, they're making it a compelling service.
I think it's solid. My only real experience with it was when Anthem came out,
right.
But it's actually a positive memory because it saved me from purchasing Anthem. I just subscribed to play it, realized it was the mess that it was. But I also got, like, it gives you nice perks in Apex Legends. And if there's any other EA games you want to play, it's absolutely worth it.
Yeah, especially for the sports games. I mean, I think then you need to get the EA Access Premier, which gives you access to all of their recent games. EA Access, the regular one, is a little bit more of a back catalog kind of thing. But it's still, you know, there are many great games in that back catalog, so...
Yeah, this did remind me that I really want Need for Speed to get their act together, because in the racing game world, it was like, oh, all the Need for Speed games that aren't on Steam are now coming to Steam. And it's like, oh, if only they were good. Need for Speed, this entire generation has been really like middling.
It's so surprising because especially I remember Underground and Underground 2 as
amazing.
Yeah,
God tier incredible level racing games. Yeah. Yeah, you don't understand how many times I've uttered the words. Just go back to Underground. Go back to Underground.
Didn't they make an Underground that was underwhelming in the past couple of years?
On the PSP.
Oh, okay. Well,
all the way back in 2005, there was a Need for Speed Underground for the PSP, which I had. It was okay.
Mm.
But
Nvidia has announced that GeForce Now is not going to include games from publishers that have not opted into the service, which we've been following that story. And Nvidia has had many issues with the GeForce Now because they included every game on PC, but reworked the presentation, I guess. And publishers were like, wait, what? No, you can't have our games without our consent. And so now there are still other developers and publishers that are saying, yes, sure, take our games, but it is so much less of a compelling service. I think they're going to need to work very hard to make it matter, after this, because all the big publishers have said, we don't want to be on your thing because they have plans of their own. And now they've made that official. So, I guess that only speaks to a very tiny portion of the population, but Sega is apparently remaking Alex Kidd, which was not a very, very... It's like this B or C tier mascots, which...
I do not even remember Alex Kidd, and I was like a Genesis kid.
I think it's a Master System. I think it's a Master System game, so... Yeah. It would not. I remember the music, the intro music, like it's five notes, but I remember it. And it's not even a game that I have super fond memories of, but it's anyway, it's weird. It was funny to see. Well, go ahead.
I was gonna say, do you know what I have fond memories of?
Gran Turismo.
Being tethered to either the cigarette lighter power in my mom's car or the
with your
wall
game gear?
With my original Game Gear because it chewed through six AA's so quickly. And so, yeah, the Game Gear Micro, at least it piqued my interest for half a second. And then I was like, oh, yeah, I don't need this.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's exactly like it's so. I'm sorry. I didn't. It was 11 when the PlayStation thing started for me. And I usually go to bed at 10 because my son wakes up so early. Anyway,
I love that this isn't a bit that you're just like straight up yawning on a podcast. It's amazing.
I'm actually tired. I did. Anyway, Game Gear Micro is, I thought it was a joke. Like they're so tiny. Is. They're smaller than the palm of your hand. And they sell them with a magnifying accessory if you buy four of them because you have like different colors and each color has four different games. I thought it was a troll by Sega.
I can't express how unappealing the idea of having four of these damn things laying around is to me. It's like, could you miss the mark more?
Well, I mean, it's only coming out in Japan, and we all know Japanese people are crazy. Maybe it's a thing, you know, they did a market study and they're like, you know, we could sell 10,000 of those or 100,000. And they're like, yeah, we can make a few bucks. So let's just do it. Why not? Maybe that's that kind of thing.
And let's only do it in Japan so that the resale value over in the States goes up.
Yeah. They're also talking about a fog gaming service, which is weird. I don't quite understand. It's like taking advantage of their arcade locations and arcade locations in general to use the arcades, the cabinets, and the hardware inside them to power a cloud gaming service, it seems, which in Japan they do have arcades still. We don't in most other countries, or not enough to make this viable. But since they do, and they're all wired, you know, with fiber, and they have very good connections, it could be an interesting thing for another way of creating a viable cloud gaming service, even if you don't have giant data centers all over, like, you know, essentially if you're not Google or Facebook or Microsoft. Now, it might not be that exactly. It's not very clear. But they did mention that it allows the arcade operators to make money outside of operating hours, which I'm taking to mean they use the hardware to render stuff for the cloud service. But I don't know. It could also be that it does, it uses the cloud service for the cabinets with hardware that reduces latency and stuff like that. It's not very clear. But I find the idea of that fog gaming, apparently fog computing is a thing, which I didn't know, but fog gaming, really appealing. It's a very clever way of using what they already do and they already are good at.
Yeah, this just serves as a reminder of how much I miss arcades, because I'm at the age where I just got a little bit of an experience with them before they started just disappearing in mass in the States.
Yeah, it's arcades are fun, and especially in Japan. I some people probably know this, but I lived in Japan for a few years in the early 2000s, and back then arcades were very big. And I used to spend so much time in arcades. It was really fun. And there's something special about this, which obviously I understand why it's disappeared, but I understand why it's not coming back, and it's probably not going to come back, but it's just, it was a good time. It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Surprise, Street Fighter V, talking about arcades, Street Fighter V is not dead. They are releasing a new season for the game. I was fully expecting it to go, you know, dormant by now and for them to focus on Street Fighter VI, but they're releasing a fifth season pass with 5 more characters. And I'm sure only a portion of the audience cares about Street Fighter V, but I kind of like those games, so I'm excited
to every time I'm on Pixel, Street Fighter comes up, and I have to remind you that I was a Mortal Kombat kid. Yeah.
You know, I've made peace with the idea that there are some qualities to Mortal Kombat. I think it's not as technical a game as the Japanese fighting games, but
I will agree with you on that. I will concede that. It's
excellent.
Just,
so we agree.
I am fueled by nostalgia.
So have you played and purchased Aftermath, the expansion for...
No. Oh. What am I going to do? I'm going to walk my 33-year-old ass onto online Mortal Kombat and have that said ass handed to me? No, thank you.
No, but that's the point of Mortal Kombat. You have a really great single-player experience. That's, you know, a lot of fun. So I would figure...
Fighting games have kind of... For me, I've more or less retired them from my life.
Okay. All right.
The Smash Brothers, I know Smash Brothers is its own kind of unique existence and isn't technically a fighting game, but that was the last big great 1v1 fighter of my life.
I understand. There's a new Total War game, which again is kind of a niche thing, but it's going to be free for everyone on the Epic Game Store for one day. I think it's August 13th. So just mark it on your calendars now. It's like actually a fully new Total War game. It's Total War Troy. And it's going to be free for a day on August 13th. So don't forget to get it, to download it at that point.
I recently used to play a lot of Total War.
Oh, really? I didn't figure you were a Total War kid, but with StarCraft, it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's very different from StarCraft, but no, I always tend to have like one, it's not always so literal, but in this case it is, but I kind of call it like my toy soldier games. It's it's where I go to be alone, not online, and just lose entire days of my life, just tinkering. And for a long time it was Total War. Rome 2 was the first one I played. I played a lot of Rome 2. Now it's really things like Civ, and I got in the last year, I got really back into like perk builders. I played a lot of Jurassic World Evolution, which led me to re-downloading the original Roller Coaster Tycoon. So those have kind of, and that and Civ have kind of pushed Total War to the side at the moment.
I just recently played Total War Warhammer 2. Which just for an hour or two, and I had never played a Total War game, and I didn't realize that this is fulfilling the fantasy of having a strategy game where you can go down to the unit level and they actually do the thing they're supposed to be doing. I didn't know that's what it was, and it's amazing. Like, there was the cavalry charging into lancers at some point, and they like sent everyone flying off, and I was looking at them like on full screen on you know that scale. It was incredible. I was like super excited.
I love hearing about everyone's first experience with a Total War game, because that is exactly what it is. You're like, how does this look as good as it is? And it doesn't matter how early a Total War game was your first Total War game, you remember that.
Yeah, it's like, it's not incredible graphics, it's just the fact that you can go down to that level and see all of them animated, and like the feeling of it is like, oh, it's so much more of a real battle than a traditional RTS, like, you know, StarCraft, since we're mentioning that. They're not just like doing and swinging their swords or shooting their guns. They're actually fighting and stuff, and the scale is so much bigger as well. So anyway, I enjoyed that. So
I still remember the moment. I think it was in Rome 2, where I was sieging inside a city, and this like whole group of enemy units were coming down this one like main drag of like a straight street in between all these buildings. And I was like, what if I just put a ballista here and fired it down? And it totally worked, and like totally won me the level. And I was just like, oh my god, this is incredible.
Pretty cool game. So don't forget August 13, Total War Troy on the Epic Game Store. What else? Elite Dangerous Odyssey is essentially the expansion that lets people... Elite Dangerous is a space sim, for those who don't know it. And the reason I'm talking about this one is that it essentially lets people walk around in first person in the ship, and I believe on planets, which is interesting because it's really realizing the fantasy of Star Citizen, except it's an actual game that exists and that you can go play now.
I mean, you can play Star Citizen. There's nothing stopping you from playing Star Citizen.
I guess that's true. It's just in perpetual building mode for Star Citizen. But
Both these games, Elite Dangerous and Star Citizen, are just, they're too inaccessible for me. They're a little too simmy. I every time one of those two games gets brought up, I just start screaming TIE Fighter into the ether, where I will never apparently be greeted with a current generation TIE Fighter revisit.
You never know. That seems like a game that is kind of easy enough to make for it to be a launch-ish for a new generation thing.
Yeah. Also, VR kicks ass now. Why can't I just sit in a TIE fighter cockpit for hours? That sounds amazing.
What else? Crucible is. Do we even care? Crucible, the Amazon. I guess we don't necessarily care about the game, but it's the Amazon venture into gaming, the second game, which is also not doing great, just like the first one. What was the first one? Breakaway, which ended up being retired.
I do not remember.
It's so weird that these giant tech companies who are, you know, who have a foot in gaming can't figure out. I mean, obviously, having a successful game is not easy. But Crucible, essentially what's happening is they're saying we're focusing on one of the modes that is the most popular, but really we know what it is. First of all, the others weren't as fun, and they don't have enough players, I'm guessing. And
oh yeah, Breakaway didn't even come out. Wasn't it just canceled?
There were other games that were canceled, but I remember, I think I played Breakaway, and it continued for like a year, and then they retired it. Which I wouldn't be surprised if Crucible did that as well. But I mean, they have money, yeah. They can afford this, and they're learning maybe that, you know, the third or fourth or fifth one is going to be amazing. But it seems like they're doing it like they don't care, which I'm sorry is very offensive to the artists and developers behind these games. But I don't understand the overall, it seems like no one's heart is in it, or I don't know.
Money can't solve all problems.
Yeah, I guess that is the truth. And finally, other industry changing things, or not changing, but EA, if you remember, had announced that in order to get the version of Madden on your next generation console on Xbox Series X, you would need to purchase the one on, well, I mean, if you had it on your current generation and you wanted it on your next generation, it wasn't going to be the smart delivery thing where you get it anyway. It was going to be the, you get it on your current generation and then you redeem it on the next one for 3 months. And after that, you're done. And they relented on that. Essentially, it's going to be for, I think, until the next one comes out, which is reasonable. I'm sure there are licenses issues happening there, but essentially you have the full year to redeem it. So if you buy the next gen console later, then you'll get it anyway. You don't have to buy it within 3 months to get your game on the next generation. So EA is still doing the minimum amount of effort possible, but through outcry, they've extended that minimum a little bit. Which reminds me, we haven't really heard much about the way that's going to work on PlayStation. They mentioned for first party. No, actually, we haven't heard. And
because that's one of the big questions I left with. I'm like, hey, yeah. Can I just keep playing Last of Us and Ghost of Tsushima on my new PS5, please, instead of having to buy yet another damn remaster, you know, at launch, like I did with the first Last of Us on PS4?
Yeah, exactly. So, I guess we will see what happens there. And that's about it. That's about it for the news for the day. I also played Valorant, by the way, but I don't really need to talk about it too much because it's exactly what I thought it was going to be, and everyone knows it is, which is
you got Counter-Strike in my Overwatch. You got Overwatch in my Counter-Strike.
And it's really like 95% Counter-Strike.
Yes. I mean, that's like saying Fortnite though is like 90% PUBG. The building makes a very big difference in that game, and I think the abilities make a pretty big difference in Valorant.
I think that's fair. You're right. I guess that is true. But yeah, so that is about it. Thank you for listening, and thank you for sharing that time with me, Garrett. Where can people find what you do?
All of the podcasts that I produce can be found at amove.tv. That's AMOVE.TV. Got the Angry Chicken for Hearthstone, Into the Nexus for Heroes of the Storm. Yes, that's right. It's still a game. It gets updated way more than you probably think. So go check him out. Amove.TV.
I will include the link to your Twitter account in the show notes. For me, it's NotPatrick on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, of course. You can find the show and the notes at frenchspin.com. And we'll be back in about a couple of weeks, I guess, for another episode. Take care of yourself, be safe, and we'll talk to you then. Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.